Reed's Ranch is proud to partner with Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm. If you find yourself needing legal representation, if you find yourself or a loved one facing criminal charges, a DUI arrest, remember this phrase, don't say guilty, say Garza. Marcos Garza and his team have been representing East Tennessee clients for many years, and they do it well. They got the plaques and the accolades to show it. Before you say guilty, say Garza. GarzaLaw.com, 865-540-8300. You can get in touch with someone on the phone or online via their chat 24/7, 365. GarzaLaw.com, 865-546-8300. Seth and I are talking about some footballs, some basketballs. You know how we do it. Let's get to the episode.
I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass. He can't do math. He's an idiot. He gets his hair cut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 unanswered points when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Another edition of Reed's Ranch. It's Wednesday, March 29th. Seth joins me down in Alabama. What's up, Seth?
Not much, John. Good to hear your voice as always.
We were robbed of a New York City embrace.
We were. It's a shame.
We were robbed of an embrace.
It's just sad. It's a shame.
It's sad, but we all knew it was eventually coming. We all knew it would be some time that we thought we were going to win, that we would lose. The Duke game, no one believed, or few believed, I believe. Few believed, and we won. And I got a sickening feeling, Seth, whenever we recorded on Monday at the end, and you said we were going to the Final Four, because typically when you were confident, that's when the boys no-showed, and the boys no-showed.
They no-showed from the beginning.
They're only good when you don't believe.
They pretty much no-showed from the beginning.
Well, I thought the defense came out early and looked good. We forced a bunch of turnovers. Like, all right, here we go. They cannot handle our pressure. We're too long for them. We're too big for them. The stage is too bright. And then we never pulled away. And then the second half, we just didn't do anything at all. And they kept getting offensive rebounds. And that was just obviously really disheartening.
We deflected a lot of passes. Our length clearly bothered them. But they missed so many wide open threes in that first half. And I was like, they're missing all these threes, and we're up five. Like, I remember talking about it with people in the Discord, me and Marwan talking about it. Like, they just kept missing wide open threes. I just had a horrible feeling, and I was telling my dad, like, I was like, Dad, they keep missing wide open threes. I don't know how long you can expect them to keep missing, and I thought actually that we gave them less wide open threes in the second half, but they actually started hitting shots. And just the offensive rebounds were terrible. I thought the score at halftime was a little bit of a deception, because
I thought it was alarming that we were only up five.
Yeah, they're a really good three-point shooting team. They're very good. I mean, they're very good. And we were only up five. I just didn't think they were going to keep missing, and they didn't keep missing.
As we sit here basically a week later, the only like lasting thought I have, other than so dumb of me to think this team was going to actually make a Final Four, my prevailing thought is just how dumb I feel like it was at the time, and how dumb I feel about it a week later that Julian Phillips only got 12 minutes, just because I feel like Florida Atlantic was the perfect team for him to go up against because he's bigger, faster, and more athletic than them and can play and guard 1 through 5 whenever Florida Atlantic's out there. And he got 12 minutes. And in his 12 minutes, I mean, I'm not going to act like he played good in those 12 minutes, and it's probably why he only got 12 minutes, but like in his 12 minutes, he went to the rim 0 times. He shot 2 threes. Those were his only field goal attempts. And Rick Barnes looked and said, I'd rather play 2 bigs together than to try to use our size and athleticism at our, you know, wings positions and take advantage. It's one thing, and I don't want to be like a hypocrite because I was a little annoyed that against Missouri we, you know, did go so small against them and we still couldn't handle them. So, it doesn't work all the time. But I feel like if you're going to go with bigs in today's basketball, you can't give up rebounds. And you it would help if you have a big you can put down on the block that can get you buckets. And outside of typically like the first 3 or 4 minutes in a game, we don't have anybody that can do that. For some reason, Euros always comes out very quickly when he gets in and scores a couple buckets and then disappears for the rest of the game. But we went big, we went slow, and we still couldn't get any offensive rebounds. It was just a disaster of a lineup, which I think maybe that's my biggest gripe with Rick Barnes all these years later is I still don't understand how his lineups come together sometimes. That's my prevailing thought. It's like Julian Phillips, 12 minutes, and we got a bunch of bigs out there playing together.
There's no doubt the lineups are mystifying. To me, like, that may be correct. I don't really know enough about basketball to say. To me, the issue was the three seniors. Like, that's simply what the game came down to. Like, if they show up, we win. Because we lost by 7, right? Lost 58-51. Like, if Kamwa and James show up, we win, period. That's it. It's that simple. It was always about the three seniors. And they didn't show up.
Yeah, what a disappointment from Kamwa. Like,
It was perfect. It was perfect.
What a 180.
It was perfect. I mean, it was a perfect encapsulation of this team and Olivier Kamwa. Like, to me, the more frustrating one is Josiah Jordan James. Like, it's not Kamwa for whatever reason. I don't know if part of that's just because of the fanfare that they came in with. It is frustrating with Kamwa because, you know, nobody is as athletic as he is. He could have done what he did against Duke all the time. But, like, to me, it was simply about the three seniors. They didn't show up outside of Santi. Josiah.
I mean, Santi wasn't great either.
He wasn't great either. You just ask so much of him being the ball handler now.
He lost us it was the moment that I knew that it was over, that we were not winning, is when he missed a wide open three off of a offensive rebound, and then they got a run out for a layup to go up 7. Like, that's the moment you knew it was over.
Yeah. And he didn't play great by any stretch.
But yeah, I understand what you're saying. He's got a lot on his plate by having to try to handle the ball and everything.
It was just like you got more out of him than you did the others.
Yeah, he looks good. He looks good standing next to the other two seniors.
Because, like, Josiah Jordan James, I mean, he actually had more points than Santi, surprisingly. He had 10 compared to 9. But, you know, they both shot 3 out of 11. Santi had more rebounds than Josiah somehow. I mean, like, it really just came down to Kamwa. Like, you lost 62-55. It always came down to the three seniors. None of them played great. I thought only one of them got a passing grade. I just thought Josiah was just, like, yeah, Josiah against Duke in the second half was good, and he kept shooting,
I wouldn't say he was good. He was
He solid. Was better.
Yeah.
He at least showed up.
The first half, the second half, he was solid.
Yeah, he showed up. I shouldn't say he was good because he wasn't good. But, like, what a disappointing NCAA tournament for Josiah. Like, he never – Vescovi, the first half against Duke, was amazing. Kamwa, the second half against Duke, obviously. But Josiah just never really showed up. And that's, like, to me, it was always about the three seniors. And they didn't come to play. That's all – like, it's just, you know, I mean, like, people get mad about Barnes, and I get it. To me, the issue with Barnes is nothing that happened the other night. It's things that happened a year ago or years ago in crafting this team. Like, this team that he crafted just has these massive issues. And when those, like, things, when things line up, they can literally beat anybody. But they're just not consistent enough. Like, you were asking this team to win, to play four good games back to back, because it took four good games. Like, Louisiana, what, you know, you had to show up somewhat to beat Louisiana.
I think you had to play a good game, but not going to nitpick.
And, like, you just, that was too much to ask for out of this team. Like, they were just never going to play four decent to good games in a row. Like, to me, the issue goes back years or a year, you know. I mean, like, you go out and you get Tyreek Key in the portal. That was obviously a huge miss.
Him playing 25 minutes compared to Phillips is 12, though. That's what I'm saying. That's my lasting takeaway. Because Key gave you absolutely nothing out there. No defense, no rebounding. He hit 1-3 at the very beginning of the game and got like a putback after the game was basically over. He gave you nothing, and he played 25 minutes. And he's slow, and he can't really handle the ball, and he can't play defense, and he can't rebound. And to me, again, Rick Barnes played him twice as many minutes as your very athletic freshman. And to me, that's inexcusable. In a game where you're getting punked.
Like a year ago, Rick decided that, roughly a year ago, Rick decided, well, what we're going to do is we're going to try to make Tyreek Key into a point guard. And it's just like, what? Like, people need to understand that just because you're good, like, you can have these, like, Drew Pember is, like, an awesome mid-major player. Like, that's it. That's what he is. Like, why did we think Tyreek Key, who is a pretty good mid-major player, could be a Division I Power 5 point guard for a top 15 program?
I would rather take our chances, not to cut you off, but I would rather take our chances on any mid-major guard that's a freshman or a sophomore versus a fifth or sixth year guy. Just because
for
I
sure.
feel like there might be some room for growth there. Because like with Tyreek
Key, sure.
we knew what he was.
Like Tyson Walker at Michigan State. Like he was not very good his first year at Michigan State. You know, I just thought the issues with this team go back years, you know, a year or two, multiple years in the past. Like, you know, I personally have no issue with not playing whatever his name is, the freshman, because he looked terrified to me. Phillips looked absolutely just, he played like he was scared on offense. Like, I personally, like, B.J. Edwards, he can transfer. I certainly don't care about not playing him. I mean, my issues with that are like, my issues with that is the same thing with Key. Like, why don't we try to make Tyreek Key a point guard? Like, what was the thought process there? Like, he's clearly not a point guard. You spent months doing it, and then when your point guard gets hurt, it never even comes into thought to put Tyreek Key back at the one. It never even entered into the brain space to put Tyreek Key back at one. We shifted Vescovi back to the one where he hadn't played in years, and we turned Jemai Mashak into a one. So it was wasted months. Like, I don't know if B.J. Edwards is any good, but you could at least use those months to see what you had with him. I mean, the roster creation was terrible because there was no consistency. He consistently misses. We just whiff in the portal. Like, you construct this roster with these four-year players. And let's be honest, like, Tennessee had a good roster. Okay? Like, they got to the Sweet 16 with just pure in-house recruiting. But what could have put them over the top is getting somebody good out of the portal. But he just whiffs on the portal. Every year, he just whiffs.
Well, it's another year where I'll ask the question of, like, how much longer are we even going to get recruiting talent? Because Julian Phillips probably going to end up being the worst example of a guy coming here and taking his stock. Last year, everyone used the excuse for Chandler of, like, hey, you know, he's short. What do you expect? He can't shoot free throws. What do you expect? Of course, he's going to hurt his draft stock. And, okay, that's fine. But Julian Phillips was, like, a top 14, top 15 pick at the beginning of the year. I tracked it. And now, like, you know, he's almost assuredly not going to be a first-round pick. Maybe very back-end if he, you know, measured well or whatever. And who knows? You know, those type of athletes and size are always going to be valuable in the NBA. But, like, he definitely tanked his stock. And it's just another five-star who came here. And, you know, probably would have been better suited at almost anywhere else in the country. Or any major program in the country. You know, any top 20 program in the country.
He's going to keep recruiting well.
Okay, if you say so. I mean, maybe with the help of Spire, and maybe you could still sell Kevin Durant, and hey, look what I did with Grant Williams. Maybe, okay. I mean,
He's like, I don't really see any reason to assume otherwise based on his track record, based on his assistant coaches.
I hope you're right.
He recruits better now than he did. It's just so stupid. It's so stupid. He wouldn't even leave Knoxville when he first took the job. Now he gets multiple top 50 players every class. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's stupid. It's dumb. It's never made any sense to me. Remember how mad people used to get at his recruiting when he first took the job? He wouldn't go recruit. He wouldn't do it. So I see, I don't really, to me, there's not much of an argument for why he wouldn't keep recruiting well, because all he does is keep recruiting well. Jaden Springer didn't pan out as high as he was supposed to. Keon Johnson was, I guess Keon was a top 10 pick, but he didn't do as much at Tennessee as people thought.
Is there anyone in this upcoming class that we're still after, in 2023, or?
No, that sounded a huge class. They signed, two top 30 players.
In the 2023 class?
Yeah, Estrella and DeLeon are both very highly rated.
Yeah, DeLeon, okay. I guess he wasn't showing up on this page. I mean, Estrella.
Yeah, because he reclassified.
Okay, so those two guys.
So.
Cameron Carr is 4-stars. I mean, okay, maybe he's going to be good.
Estrella is number 32 overall on 3. So you signed two top 32 overall players.
Okay, I'm looking at two.
And you just not a four person class is huge too.
Oh no, I know. I didn't see the top end talent, but I guess where's DeLeon? He's a top 20 guy.
He was 25 to 30, but I don't know what he was before. Now I was looking at that the other day, and I couldn't figure out what they had him rated. It annoyed me that they changed his ranking to being
whenever he reclassified.
Yeah. Because I was trying to figure out what exactly he was.
On 3 has him, it looks like, at number, is that 52, or is that just industry rating? Either way, whatever.
So I don't know. They have him as 68 in that class last year now. I don't know what they have him at, what they had him. They had him, he was 30th. He was 20th to 30th.
I have high hopes for DeLeon, but at the same time, I'm now at the point where I just got to wait and see it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
In terms of a guy coming here and being the slasher and get to the rim guard that everyone else in the country has, it was nauseating. This was actually one of the rare times that I didn't check out of the tournament after Tennessee lost. I've still been watching. I've still been keeping up with it. And I was watching that UConn-Gonzaga game and just watching UConn run their offense and how fast-paced and hectic they are and how many open threes they were generating and getting. I haven't felt like we had a guy that could get to the rim all year long. Nobody – Mayshak could do it, but whenever he did it, it was through force of most likely getting fouled. It wasn't just blowing by you and getting there. It's kind of putting my head down on my drive and hope that you hip-check me. I was watching UConn just fly to the rim. I'm watching Miami fly to the rim, and I understand – that those are two Final Four teams. But at the same time, that's Miami and UConn. And I know UConn has a blue blood resume, but it's not like they've been really in the conversation in between national championships, right? The last three or four years, they've been
Nobody talks about UConn basketball.
Yeah, they're basically like we are, except they win national championships.
Nobody talks about UConn basketball. Nobody talks about the Big East. Nobody talks about UConn basketball. I agree completely. It's, hats off to John Ruiz. Hats off to John Ruiz. He went out and gave Nigel Pack $400K per year salary.
And then matched because one guy was going to leave that was there last year.
Yeah, Isaiah Wong.
Yeah, Wong was going to leave. He said, fine, you can have the money too.
Pack's been amazing. Wong was ACC Player of the Year. He got to the Elite. He paid those two twins for the women's. They got to the Elite Eight. Everything's working for him except football.
Yeah, I wonder how much he actually cares about basketball. Is he still happy? Is he great, the U's back? Or is he damn it, how do I get this to go into actually work into football?
I have no idea. It's just, Nigel Pack was really good ROI. Yeah, I agree. One thing that drives me crazier than anything is every single team in the second weekend, every single team except Tennessee had a point guard. Every single team had a point guard, whether it was 6'7" Anthony Black or however tall Marquise Noel is. Every team had a point guard, but Tennessee still doesn't.
And yes, Zakai got hurt, but at the same time, Zakai wasn't that type of point guard either, really.
Correct. It's about just, and it's even about the wings, because Josiah never, ever would just slash. He would just never take it to the rim. It's like you're, I mean, like, look up how many free throws Josiah James shot in his 4-year career. It's like, it's incredibly low.
Phillips and Mayshak should have been at the free throw line.
Nonstop. I never thought that, like, anybody could stop Julian Phillips when he was, he did it against USC, and then he, like, never did it again.
Oh, well. Shitty end to a, for the most part, disappointing season. Ryan wants to know your favorite basketball memory of the year.
Duke. It's like the only good one. I don't care about any other. I don't care. Duke, I'll say second is Kansas. I didn't really care much at the time. Like, it was nice to beat Alabama, but on the flip side, like, the team had already annoyed me so much at that point. I was solely honed in on the tournament. I didn't get to watch Texas because I had a wedding I had to go to. So it was Duke, and then I guess second would be Kansas. I enjoyed watching the Kansas game with my dad. But, I mean, I there's nothing really. Like, this was the easiest loss. This was, like, the easiest bad loss in the tournament under Barnes to get over. I was over it immediately, and I mainly just feel relief that I don't ever have to watch this team again. Like, yeah, they were not.
You're blessed to kind of be a basketball casual, so I'm kind of jealous of you for that reason.
Yes, that is me, a casual fan.
A basketball casual, not football
yes,
casual.
Yes, for sure. That is me, a basketball casual.
A basketball casual.
For sure, that's
you don't
me.
Ever really load up and go support the boys, so it's easy just to turn on your TV channel and go back to
that's right that's
reruns right. of How to Get Away with Murder or Murder, She Wrote.
John, you're the smooth brain that watches TV, not me.
Okay. I thought I saw you talking about watching some dumb show. What were you saying you just started watching? Weren't you posting on the TV channel about how you just started some show? I see you always LARPing and sucking up the House of the Dragon show, so you watch that. So, I mean, don't actually watch TV.
I watched House of the Dragon. The only thing I posted lately was about BJ just...
I thought you had posted a TV channel that you started watching something.
Dunking on Jameson. No, I haven't watched like Succession or anything like that. I saw that started back.
No, I know that, but there was one. But either way.
Oh, Chernobyl. I watched one episode of Chernobyl a long time ago, and it was a visual sleeping aid.
Well, that's what I said too, but.
It's boring. Dreadful.
Asleep. I tried to watch that 3 times and fell asleep. But like I said, you're in a blessed space where you are a basketball casual, so I understand that you have snapped and cleared pretty easily. It makes sense.
Yeah, it's called being intelligent.
Yeah.
Why on earth would you let this team get you down? It's ridiculous.
It's fine. That's what I'm saying. I'm proud of you. It's good to be a basketball casual. You're doing a good job. You're the one taking offense to being a basketball casual. I don't know why you're trying to play both sides here. You're claiming intellectual superiority while also being
I am.
Mad
I am. Well, I mean, I don't have to claim that. That just it's like the sun rising in the, you know.
That you're a casual? Yeah, I know. Everyone knows.
No.
People have listened to this podcast long enough to know you're a basketball casual.
No. A basketball casual is like you with the Hawks. You pretending to like the Hawks.
That's the opposite. I watch every Hawks game on my phone.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I do.
I watch every Hawks game. John, everyone believes you, buddy. Everyone. You don't have to defend yourself. Everyone believes that you watch the Hawks every game.
I was getting ready to pull up. I would say, especially this year, there's been what? I would say we're what? 37 and 37. No, we're 38 and 38. So that's what? That's 76 games. I would say I've watched at least 65 of them. At least.
You need to go to the doctor.
I'm a fan. I like sports. I like my teams. I root for my teams. I wish I could be a casual like you. I truly do. I truly wish I could.
What was the guy from the Spurs that you were convinced? DeJounte Murray?
I thought DeJounte was going to be good. DeJounte hasn't been very good.
Shockingly, he did not put the Hawks over the top in the East. And an East with Joel Embiid and Giannis. Somebody named DeJounte Murray didn't put the Hawks over the top.
Good point by Youssef, because Joel Embiid has been at the top of the East so many times. The guy who's never played in the conference finals. You're right.
They're top three in the East.
How could I ever think the Hawks could beat the Sixers and Joel Embiid, who have never made a conference finals? Oh, silly me. Silly me, Seth. How could I ever think that Joel Embiid, who loses in the first round or second round every year of his career, how could we ever dethrone him? Great point
well, if,
by you.
Well, if the Sixers aren't going that deep, DeJounte Murray
casual.
And the Hawks. Trae Young.
The conference finals more recently than Joel Embiid has, casual.
Yeah, I know. And then y'all lost, shockingly. And you really thought they might make the finals. I remember.
Well,
I remember.
Trae Young stepped on a ref's foot and was out. He got knocked out for two games, or a game and a half. That kind of derailed us. We were up. It was 1-1, and we were up in the second quarter. Like,
did the Hawks make the finals? Did the Hawks make the finals? No, they didn't.
Well, they didn't. Did you not just hear me say Trae Young got hurt? Did I not just say that?
And then DeJounte Murray did not put them over the top.
Well, DeJounte's been bad. I will admit that. DeJounte hasn't been good.
I'm sure getting Jaylen Brown will put him over the top.
Although I'm excited for, you know, getting a full offseason under Quinn Snyder. But I've enjoyed this season regardless, just because – well, actually, I take that back. I haven't enjoyed the season because we've been one game above or below 500 for 2.5 months now. So that's not – that hasn't been very fun, actually.
Does Quinn Snyder still wear the Gucci belt?
I don't know. I didn't notice his belt. He was rocking all black last night.
He used to dress so nice.
After the game, after we beat the Cavs, he went and found, because Donovan Mitchell's there, who used to play for him in Utah, he went and found Donovan Mitchell, who had like 40 points, and made Donovan go, show him to his mom and gave Miss Mitchell some hugs, and seemed like they were having a good time. I like Quinn Snyder. I have a lot of confidence in him. I have the second most confidence of him in any of my coaches. Maybe more than Heupel, honestly, because he didn't lose to South Carolina as 20-point favorites. He didn't not cover the spread by 45 points. Quinn Snyder's
Vrabel's not one.
Oh, that's good. That's a good point too by Vrabel. Yeah, it's not Vrabel's fault. We fell apart with injuries last year. You're right. I take that back.
It has to be Vrabel.
It's probably Vrabel, Buds, then Heupel. That's my three. Barnes, low on the list.
It has to be Vrabel.
Which, also, when you're talking about the Hawks, point out Quinn Snyder wasn't there all year. It was Nate McMillan, who was very, very – he was dead last on the list. He was below Barnes, just for the record.
Yeah, it has to be Vrabel.
Yeah. That's fair.
Because, like, the Titans can actually win something. The Hawks are never going to win anything. It's the Atlanta Hawks. The NFL has parity. Like, the Titans can win. Vrabel's amazing. He does nothing but pound out division championships. Plus, he is like seems like the coolest dude to play for.
Unless everyone's injured like they were last year. Just want to point that out. It's not really his fault that we lost so many games. Everyone was hurt. But yeah, you're right. That's probably.
Oh, yeah. I forgot the Titans didn't win it last year.
Yeah, they lost 6 games in a row because they had no quarterback and everyone was hurt. Anyways, let's get to some patron questions. Patreon.com/ReedsRanch. No new patron. Cowards. Let's get to some questions. Seth, what do you got for us?
Brother BJ, a.k.a. Pawpaw, asks what my favorite book of the Bible to study is. I like Ephesians and James, actually. I do like Ephesians and James. Richmond said his was James as well.
What happens in Ephesians?
Paul writes a letter to the church at Ephesus.
What happens in James?
James is written by Jesus' stepbrother, James, or at least it's thought. I think there's some question of whether or not that was the James that wrote it. My favorite verse in James is James 1:27, that pure religion is to protect the orphans and to take care of the widows. I've always loved that verse. Thought it was very beautiful.
Keep the poor from killing the rich.
Well, yeah, I mean, you shouldn't let people kill people either.
I hear you. I guess you could say overthrowing the rich as well, but either way, you're not a casual basketball fan, not a casual Bible guy. I respect that about you.
Brother Marwan, a.k.a. Marwan, asks, are you more interested in the current baseball season or the upcoming football season? Well, I mean, look, it's Tennessee football. Everything else pales in comparison. It's all about Joe. I feel bad for Joe. The hype train is going to be completely off the tracks come the beginning of August.
What's going to annoy me really badly is that if Joe is not very good, and then everyone in the Discord that's been leading the Joe charge claims they were doing so just because they were trying to be positive and that they didn't really believe it. Because you and I have been saying we're not completely sold yet.
What annoys me is the hype train from the media. Like, Andy Staples, who I really like. I mean, I really like Andy Staples. He's like the biggest Southeastern college football writer. I mean, he's talking about Joe going like top 2 overall at quarterback. It's like, bro.
I mean, if Joe plays well, he will. I mean, I feel like
sure, but like,
well.
Like we're just. It's just like let's keep the train on the tracks.
That,
if we let,
size,
let's do this
arm strength, he's baby Cam.
Let's do this after we beat Florida.
Cam Newton went number one overall.
Brother Boomer asks, does Josh Heupel finally use the depth we have at wide receiver?
I'm going to guess no on that.
No, it's never going to happen. Like, this is something that everyone needs to come to grips with. We are going to have transfers like crazy on offense, okay? Wide receivers are going to transfer like crazy, and so are quarterbacks. Quarterbacks are going to transfer everywhere like crazy.
Yeah, that's been happening for 10 years. I mean, five-star quarterbacks, like, I think 70% of them or something crazy like that transfer.
But like it's gonna be impossible to build depth at quarterback, and wide receivers are gonna transfer from Tennessee like crazy. I mean, all these dudes, like, they're gonna start after this year when people, like, I don't know, like, look at the high profile wide receivers that he signed. People like Caleb Webb that were really highly rated that didn't see the field at all last year. You know, are they, like, if they get put behind Nathan Laycock, a true freshman, like, he's going to, I mean, like, people are just going to transfer like crazy. No, he's not going to play four wide receivers.
So you don't think there's any chance that it could somewhat be like Alabama in the sense of guys hanging around to their junior year so they could put up stats and maybe get drafted?
No, I think people like Ramel Keaton are very few and far between. What I think will happen is that the dudes that stay will be like absolute monsters. They will come out of like this, you know, this like natural selection shredder as like cyborgs.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's kind of what happened at Alabama for so long. So you don't think there's any chance people do that for wide receiver?
No, I don't think guys are going to be able to, like, I don't think people are going to be willing to wait 2 or 3 years anymore.
And I'd also say that it's really, I mean, not unfair, but it's really unfortunate that if you do hang around and wait, there's still always a chance that, like, two guys can enter the transfer portal and come to Tennessee and put the stats up and, you know, be ahead of you on the depth chart too. Kind of like what happened with Thornton, you know, going in over Keaton probably.
Like the thing is, like, here's the thing. I'm not talking about, like, these dudes don't play at all. They don't play at all. Like, they get a little bit of playing time at the end of blowouts. Like, Squirrel did not play until Jalen Hyatt got hurt. Like, yeah, they put in a package for him against LSU. Two straight plays, he got the ball, and that was it. Like, these dudes don't play. They, like, straight up do not play. It's not like they're getting, like, a lot of run as a true freshman, and so they know as a sophomore, it's gonna, like, they're not getting to play at all. Like, he just doesn't play four wide receivers. Like, look at Keaton played when Cedric Tillman was hurt.
And I just want to ask, I'm not nitpicking. This is more for my own sake. I've always said Ramel. Is it Ramel or
it's Ramel? It's Rel. It's Ramel. I don't know why I said it that way. I knew as soon as I said it was wrong. It's okay. Ramel.
I just wanted to make sure because that's how I always say it on the radio. I don't want to sound like a dumbass like you just did. Yeah. Casual.
I said it completely wrong. I don't know why I did. So no, I say no. He doesn't use, like, it's gonna suck. Like, I'm not sure that Thornton doesn't play slot. Like, I hope that they move Thornton outside. But I also don't, because I want Keaton to play, because, like, Keaton is such a good story. But if they keep Thornton inside, then one of Thornton and Squirrel White don't play. Which is crazy that they might not play Squirrel White. It's just insane to me.
I would be shocked if Squirrel didn't play over Keaton just because of Squirrel's relationship with Joe.
I'm going to... But see, like, Joe and Keaton, that's always the reason... Like, Keaton and Joe, that they have that connection.
Yeah, maybe. I always because think of that Joe and Squirrel, but maybe Brew's the odd man out. Maybe they need Brew to tight end. Maybe he's our new Princeton fan. Good problem to have, though.
It is.
But I do think you need at least four because of injury, like you had with Keaton last year. Wouldn't mind having four or five at all times.
I mean, Tennessee really signed some good wide receivers in not this class they just signed, but like Squirrel's class. Like, really, really good players. And none of them played besides Squirrel. And then you signed Nathan Laycock, who was extremely highly rated. You know, basically, it was a wash between him and Carnell Tate by the time the ratings finally came out. Are those dudes, like, if Nathan Laycock passes them, are those dudes going to stick around? Because they're never getting to play. I say no. It's just going to be a constant just turnover, which is fine because I think the dudes that play will be amazing.
Might not be the worst time to ask a couple of those guys how they feel about playing defensive back.
Brother Brizzy asks who my favorite Civilization VI leader is. It's Wilhelmina, the Dutch, Brizzy. I like her the best because you can make polders. And that's my favorite unique tile improvement. And that was Talking Civilization VI with Seth.
What the hell is Civilization VI?
It's a video game. It's like a 4X, like a strategy game. Gotcha. It's a strategy game.
Gotcha. I guess that's what you were too busy doing to come to the Sweet 16 game.
I made the right decision.
I hope you and your Dutch female Civ 6 leader are having a great time.
Brother Thomas asks, which UT basketball player frustrated you the most this year?
All of them. Josiah, I mean, I guess, because you just hope that an old man that was supposed to be our glue guy would actually be a glue guy. And all the reports are to the contrary, that he was actually, like, divisive. So, like, he's the most disappointing for me. Most frustrating for sure.
How is there any other answer?
Yeah, it has to be him. I mean, you could say Kumwa in the sense that, like, he had all the talent in the world but just doesn't play like it all the time. That's frustrating. You could also make a case for Urosh for being just really annoying. Like, that flagrant foul was like, what the fuck you doing, bro?
Okay, so I actually...
You had turned the channel by then, hadn't you?
No, I didn't. I was looking at the Discord when they showed it. Oh, okay. Or my phone won.
Well, I had no clue. I was just sitting in the arena. Next thing I know, they come out and say, like, flagrant foul. I'm like, what the hell? And they didn't show any replays in the arena. I was like, what happened?
Well, at first, the thing they kept showing us was not the flagrant.
Okay.
And so I didn't see it until this week. I actually saw it. I saw Barstool tweeted it out, something like, who's going to miss UT in the tournament? And then they had replied to it with that dirty shot that Tennessee's female point guard took on that Virginia Tech player, like replied to their own tweet, like, oh, basically the women do this too. So I finally saw the flag, like, what was Urosh doing?
I mean, that's where he just ran and, like, hip checked the guy down, right? I mean,
Yeah. He was just like full head of steam.
Yeah.
Full head of steam. Like,
we're very lucky. I mean, we ended up losing anyway, so, like, it didn't matter. But imagine had they hit that three, hit two flagrant free throws, and then got another bucket to push it from 4 to, like, 11 or 12. Instead, they hit the three and only hit one free throw and get stopped, so it stayed at 8. But it could have very easily gone from 4 to 12 and just completely, you know, ended the season. Again, I understand we still lost, but it could have been an all-time boneheaded play. It was still dumb as hell, but it could have been much, much worse.
Brother Reese asks, which seniors do you want to come back?
I would like Kumwa back, and I would like Santi back.
Yeah, those are the only two I want back.
Yeah. Someone posted in the Discord, I think, but, like, if Vescovy does come back, I want him just to turn into kind of a spot-up shooter.
Yeah.
I hate when he tries to drive into the lane and you know, can't do anything with it. Just, he's a spot-up shooter. We're going to run him around screens or have him standing in the corner or catching
shots. I do too, and I think a lot of that is just by necessity.
Yeah, no, it's fair.
You know, because I agree. I dislike it too. He's not very good at it, but there's just not. I just think that was by necessity towards the end of the season. Brother G-Man asks, expectations for the baseball team?
Host a super regional.
Yeah, so I think that, first of all, I think we'll know more, obviously, after the next two weekends. However, I think that, like, there's like three teams at the top right now in the conference, and I think Tennessee has made its case that if there's going to be a fourth, it's going to be them this year. Obviously, with sweeping A&M, like, and if you're in that top four, I mean, being in that top four is going to get you a top eight seed, I feel like.
That was a nice bounce back for the boys, getting that sweep.
Very nice bounce back. It doesn't answer all the questions, but it was nice.
Who swept Missouri this weekend? Vandy or who was it?
South Carolina. Okay. South Carolina.
I saw they Missouri got swept. That was a little disheartening, but.
Missouri gagged all over themselves in the first game, in the ninth inning.
Okay.
Like, it didn't answer all the questions, but, like, I was just relieved that, like, they actually showed some, like, fight and fire, and they came back in all three games. They really, really hit the ball well. They really hit the ball well. And Dolander was unhittable after the first inning, and Burns was unhittable in the middle of the game. They just kept him in too long. So I feel good about our pitchers.
it's a tall task to go down to Baton Rouge, obviously, and hit well. But I do want us to have some hits on the road. I'm a little worried about us being a home-only offense so far. Like, it's kind of been that way.
Yeah.
I mean, would we take one out of two out of LSU this weekend, or do you?
I think you would take one game. I think you would take one win. I will say this, like, you know, like Skeens is obviously amazing, but like they're 2-3, like aren't who they were supposed to be. They had a guy came out with an injury. The big transfer from UCLA didn't pan out. Like, it's not like if you like LSU's by far and away the number one team in the country. I'm not saying otherwise. They have the best pitcher and they have the best player. But if you look at Tennessee's top five or six batters, like, there is a massive amount of talent in that top five.
So you're saying we have a chance to go down there and win the series?
I just think Tennessee can win a game. Like, I think that Tennessee can hit LSU. I think that they can hit Skeens. I'm not, like, not well or whatever, but I don't think Tennessee fans should go down there and expect to get shut out. And, like, I think Tennessee can score because I think Tennessee can hit. And especially the games 2 and 3, like, they have some questions. Like, yeah, they're the best team. Dylan Cruz is absolutely unbelievable. But I just think Tennessee's first five batters is really, really, really good. Like, Ahuna is crushing the baseball now. Christian Moore is a professional baseball hitter, as is Jared Dickey. We all know what Blake Burke can do. The amazing thing about Blake Burke is that Blake Burke is hitting for average this year. Blake Burke is taking the ball the other way. He's hitting the ball up the middle for singles. It's not just moonshots. He's not going 1-for-4 with the home run. Like, he's, like, getting a lot of hits, you know. Tennessee's got a lot of good players.
I'm excited for the series. Game one is on ESPNU. That's cool. I hope we...
Game two is on SEC Network, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So two out of three are on national TV. And then I know that the first game against Florida, or maybe the Friday night game against Florida is, because Chris Burke is calling it.
I'm pretty sure it's the first game of that series, too.
Okay. I just, you know, I mean, I think Tennessee can win a game. I think Tennessee can get hits because I think Tennessee has a ton of talent. And, you know,
to answer G-Man's question, the expectations, I just want to host a super regional.
Yeah.
If you get there, like, do you have to make Omaha? I mean, it'd be nice, but host a super regional. Do you disagree? Do you have, like, Omaha?
No, I think if you're hosting a super regional, like, that means you're considered better than the team you're playing. So get to Omaha. You know, like, that's just kind of like with the basketball team. Like, you're playing FAU, get to the Elite Eight. Like, because Tennessee's never going to run into one of the, you know, the only possible exception is you're playing a team that cannot host, like Old Dominion or Campbell. Cause like Campbell can't host this year. Cause like Campbell might get a regional. Campbell might be the top 16 seed. They can't host, which sucks. Like, ODU couldn't host a couple years ago. They had to play at South Carolina.
Because their stadium's not big enough, or what?
Yeah. That was the year we lost to Virginia. That was in the World Series.
Well, I'm pretty sure it happened again to, was it Gonzaga last year? Or it was somebody else that happened to last year, I thought.
It seems like it happens once a year.
Yeah.
So that's, like, the only way, I think, that you should ever be hosting a super regional and not expect to go to Omaha, like... Brother Tropio asks, would you rather have the football team get blown out in a playoff game or make the Final Four and roll the dice?
Final Four means playoff, right? Talking about football?
I don't know. Like, that was, to me, the question hinges on, is it like the 8-game playoff? Or is this the current final, like, 4-game playoff? I figured he was talking about a basketball Final Four.
Oh, okay. I mean, I'd rather make the Final Four and roll the dice than get blown out first playoff game.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
If it's the 12-team playoff, definitely. I mean,
yeah, that's for sure, because if it's a 12-team playoff, like, Tennessee, that could be a home game that Tennessee's getting blown out in, and that's just absolutely a nightmare scenario.
That ruins the season almost.
Yeah, like, New Year's Eve, you're getting to host a playoff game and you just get slaughtered.
Yeah, I'd rather make the Final Four and roll the dice. Tennessee wouldn't have obviously won the championship this year, and us versus San Diego State would have been an over-under of about 88 points. That would have been such a low-scoring game, but I'd still rather have a chance to win a title. Plus, making the Final Four would be basically like winning a championship in football, as far as I'm concerned. So
I agree. Like,
if you're asking if I'd rather roll the dice in the college football playoffs or Final Four, of course, I'm going to say roll the dice in the college football playoffs. I would probably say roll the dice in the college football playoffs over just guaranteeing me a spot in the national championship in basketball. Maybe. But, yeah, in this scenario, it's easy for me.
Yeah, I think for Tennessee basketball, it's not about national titles. It's about getting to a Final Four.
Yeah.
I would consider that a title.
Logie wants to know what your go-to podcasting outfit is.
Typically underwear and a t-shirt.
Oh, okay.
You know, yeah.
Tips
typically.
Typically, I will be coming in from the gym, and I'll have, like, taken off my sweaty clothes and put on some of my – I got some, like, sweat shorts, so, like, sweatpants but short.
Yeah.
I like wearing those, and I'll typically be shirtless, maybe a hoodie on if it's cold. I don't know. Right now, though, I didn't go to the gym, and I got just on some pants, no shirt. They're unbuttoned, about halfway zipped. That's my current look. I do my podcast standing up.
Okay.
It's kind of weird, but like with the way the place I live now, like the easiest setup is for me, like my dresser is pretty much, if I put the microphone up, it's pretty much mouth level. So I just kind of stand here for about 45 minutes. It's a good place to put the computer. And that's what I do. I stand here with my pants unbuttoned, swaying back and forth. I guess that's our there last question.
I take off my pants as soon as I get home from work.
You just go underwear after that? You don't put, like, shorts on? I'd go underwear and pants immediately off and just go in these sweat shorts I have. That's my lounging around fit.
Yeah, I have, like, I have underwear that I, like, lounge around in and then, like, underwear that I, like, wear to work.
Interesting.
And the underwear that I, like, lounge around in are, like, boxer briefs. So when I'm at home by myself, like that's all I'm, that's like, yeah, that's it. I wear those, typically a long sleeve t-shirt, socks, and LL Bean pure leather house shoes.
Like right now that's when it's hot, your feet not get sweaty. See, I gotta go socks. Like right now my socks are on, but like when I go to get on the couch, I have to put a shirt on because I don't like laying on the couch without a shirt on really. And, yeah, socks are coming off pretty much immediately. I can't really do socks or underwear when I'm lounging around.
Yeah, I wear socks until I get in my bed at night to sleep, and then I take them off.
Weird. Do you find that your feet stink?
No.
I mean, I know you're very
I'm not one of those lunatics that we talked about that doesn't wash their feet. I wash my feet.
That's fair.
But I don't let the soap.
I just imagine they're always sweating constantly.
No, they don't sweat at all. My feet are always frigid.
Okay. Bad circulation, huh?
And so if I'm working from home, the first thing I do, or one of the first things I do in the morning, is put those pair of socks back on. I also don't like being barefoot at all because I hate feet. I don't ever want to see my feet, and I especially don't want to see your feet. Not you, but whoever's listening.
You don't want to see my feet, trust me.
I don't either, but I just don't. I hate feet, so I don't want to see my own.
Why
like,
don't you
want to
see your own feet?
I just don't like feet. I'm not like Quentin Tarantino. I don't have a foot fetish.
Well, there's a fine line between hating feet and having a foot fetish.
I know. Maybe I go too far over the top, but I do.
You're
I just don't like feet.
Quentin Tarantino. You're as weird as he is.
I just don't like feet, so I just want to wear socks. But I take them off when I get into bed because I think sleeping in socks is...
Do you wear them in the shower?
No, I think sleeping in socks is barbaric.
Do you wear house shoes in the shower? Do you wear those like swimming shoes?
I don't. I don't. I just wear my LL Bean house shoes. But they're beautiful. They're wonderful house shoes. I can't recommend them enough. They look amazing.
I don't like house shoes. I've tried them before. It makes my feet sweat too much.
They're very durable.
You're a weirdo. But I love you. I'll talk to you later.
I love you too, buddy. Bye bye.
See ya.
In a barroom, and liquor was the only love I've known. But your ex reaching for the bottom and brought me back from being too far gone. You're as smooth as Tennessee whiskey. Same old thing.